Guys, welcome back to The Pulse. We're back again. You may not know this about me, but I am a huge UFC fan. I actually trained for about 7 years. Can't fight it off. But I was very much into it. And so when we had the opportunity to talk to a UFC Hall of Famer, he's working in media, actually just fought again. Sugar Rashad Evans joins us. I was excited to have him on The Pulse. Welcome, sir. How are you today?
Bill, I am great, man. I am great. Just enjoying this South Florida hot weather so far, summer weather.
Yeah, right. You just got back. I mean, we got a lot of stuff to talk about, but not that long ago, you came out of a pretty significant retirement. So we got to call you current fighter still?
Well, yeah, I guess. But, you know, I'm still kind of on the retire side. I kind of just did that to kind of clean some things out of the proverbial basement. But I think I may be really done now.
Oh, really? So that was enough? You just didn't want to go out like you did before?
Yeah, I had to get a win under my belt so I could go out with my head held high.
For people who haven't done this, myself included, there's always the question, why? Like, you were a star wrestler, collegiate wrestler. Yeah. Were you that guy? Like, were you the guy getting into fights, the aggressive? Like, how'd you get down this path?
You know, it came from wrestling. You know, I'm a very competitive person from being in wrestling. So that kind of edged the competitive drive. But when it came to fighting, it just seemed like something very natural to me, like something as if like it was like an evolution of my wrestling. It was just the next phase of it. And the first time I started to compete in the mixed martial arts, I felt the biggest challenge, which was an internal challenge, which, you know, it challenged me in ways that no sport ever did before. So I was just drawn to it because it was such a huge, you know, for psychological reasons, it was huge for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't think most people get it, like what that is when it is two people locked in a cage, that kind of ultimate combat. Help us understand what that feels like. That's scary, adrenaline, what?
It's very scary. It's very scary, but you're overcoming yourself and you learn to face yourself. And I always tell myself, you know, it was never about me facing the opponent in the cage. I was always facing myself. And, you know, the opponent was just different ways that the challenge manifested and ways that I had to really challenge myself and meet that challenge in front of me. So it was always just a personal journey. And that's what I miss most about fighting, was just the personal journey that I went through on the way to get to the octagon and step into the cage. Because there's been many times where I'm sitting in the back room and I'm just about to walk out and I'm looking at the audience and I'm just like feeling just all this adrenaline. I'm just like, man, what am I doing? You know, I got to find something else better to do. But then there's the other side of me that's up for the challenge. That was just like, you know, this is what you're called to do. And you know, going through that whole roller coaster of emotion was really what the whole fight was about for me, just being able to conquer myself.
You know, what's interesting about that, and as I said, I trained Muay Thai for a while, never fought, never wanted to. Like, didn't have that same feeling that you have. But going through that, you viewed life differently. It was like, if I can get through this, there's not a lot. Even the training. Like, I started seeing life in rounds. This meeting's only got like 5 rounds left. I'm all right.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the most important thing about it, is the fact that, you know, you're taking these skills that you learn from fighting and you're applying them to whatever it needs, wherever you need to in life. But you're really learning the fact that there's just a resilience, you know, that you have to have, and a grit that you have to have to stomach a lot of things in life. And because I've had that experience of just having to, you know, just grin and bear it and just really have to fight myself and fight my resolve, I've learned to stomach through a lot of situations that really give people a hard time.
You said that this time you think you're done, that you're really retired now. Now you've had a minute to process. You went out with a win, you know, looked good. What were you? 41, 42 when you took the last fight?
42.
So went out with a win. Have you had a chance to process the career, fighting legends, being legend, you know, being a legend, being in the UFC Hall of Fame, now that you're actually done?
I have, you know, but it's been in glimpse, you know, and I get a glimpse every once in a while. You know, I got a glimpse of it once I was inducted into the UFC Hall of Fame. And, you know, another glimpse once I won my last fight. But it's just more or less just kind of you know, an appreciation of just, you know, from everybody around me, just like letting me know what my fight meant to them. And that's when I really truly put things in perspective, because it's one thing to go out there and fight for myself and have, you know, the internal challenge that it brings, but it's also another thing to be able to inspire people, you know, to be able to be the person to inspire people and give people hope in a lot of situations. For me, what was the biggest highlight of my career, but even having a chance to kind of, you know, even after I retired, to come back and have a chance to fight again, what was another chance for me to look back at what I've done and realize that, you know, it was difficult. It wasn't hard. And, you know, I have a lot to be proud of, because just getting into the cage again after I retired, it took everything I had. It just wasn't easy as it used to be. And I really started to get perspective of just how difficult that journey that I was on was.
What's that like? Like, you fought legends, you beat legends, you know, you're coming out with 20,000, 30,000 people cheering your name, but knowing you're about to go into the cage where it could go really well, you know, or you could potentially not remember what happened. Like, what's that like, taking that walk?
It's scary. It's beyond scary, to be honest, because, you know, you don't know what's on the other side of it. And if you had the experience of having lost a few times, you know, you know what that feels like. So you're doing anything in your power to not feel that way. But then you truly know that there's a part of the whole scenario that's out of your control. And that's the part that you have to accept. You have to make friends with the fact that you don't know what's going to happen, but being able to make friends with it, being able to just truly let go and allow yourself to just trust in your performance is where the magic truly is. And it's really where you get the biggest growth as a person, because you learn to trust yourself on another level.
How do you, you know, I've watched some of the fights, I've watched you knock people cold, but I've also seen some of the challenging fights for you. I always wondered, in the ultimate man versus man, woman versus woman, you know, regardless, what's that feel like? I mean, like basketball players, I played a little bit of basketball. If we lose the game, you want to push somebody, maybe we'll fight.
Yeah.
But in a fight, you know, that's just, you have to kind of come to terms with it, I would imagine.
Yeah, you have to come to terms with it. And, you know, it's the highest of the highs and lowest of the lows. And those lows can be pretty low because, you know, we spend 10 to 8 weeks training for one specific fight. And when it doesn't go your way, it's just like you threw away a whole entire season. And I mean, 8 to 10 weeks is the majority of most seasons, you know, in sports. So when you lose a fight, it's a big deal. And it hurts a lot, because as a fighter, even though it may not be true, even though you may not, you know, people may not be thinking this about your performance, but you only feel as good as your last fight. And if you went in there and you laid an egg, then you feel like trash until you get a chance to redeem yourself. So that's why you see a lot of fighters, they lose a fight and then they'll jump right back in and try to get that win back, just because walking around with that stain of a loss, it does something to your pride. And it's hard, but that's another thing that you have to overcome in yourself, to realize that, you know, you are not the fight. You know, you got to be able to learn how to divorce yourself from that and still be able to allow you to perform as an athlete, but then allow you to be a person outside of that.
Be a person outside of that. Like, one of the things I like the most about this show since we started doing it, I've had a chance to talk to professional athletes and performers and what have you. People lose track of that person side of it. And your career has evolved through the growth of social media as well. Also,
yeah.
You're one of the best fighters on earth. And yet somebody sitting at home on social media will tell you suck.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the dynamic of it. And that's the thing that I've had to learn to really put in perspective. You know, the fact that these people, when they say these things to me, they're not really attacking, you know, Rashad Evans, who, you know, my family know and love. They're attacking, you know, Sugar Rashad Evans, or the person who they think I am that they've seen on TV. And you have to be able to wear different hats. You have to be okay with that, because you got to understand that these people don't know you truly. They don't truly know you. Whatever they're saying to the character. And it takes a long time to get that. But it, once you get it, and once you truly understand, you're able to then learn how to use that and manipulate that for your advantage. You know, people used to always boo me all the time. And it wasn't until I started to accept the boos and not really care that the energy changed towards me, you know? And yeah. that's just really what it was, just me just being able to accept the fact that they're going to say what they're going to say, but I still got to be me.
ever hard to do that? Like, you're a fighter, like, by nature. Although I've read you call yourself a pacifist. So we'll explore that in a minute. a fighter by nature, and somebody is arguably disrespecting you. Is it ever hard to just, all right, I got to let this go. This isn't going to end well if I respond to it.
Yeah, it is. It is hard, and especially on the internet. And I've been pulled down that rabbit hole with that just insulting, crazy stuff that happens when you get the trolls and you try to rebuttal back, and then you just find yourself just getting brought down to that level that you didn't want to in the first place. So I know what's on the other end of that, and because I know what's on the other end of that, I know to not allow myself to let my ego get there. Because listen, I'm not going to lie. Sometimes you read some of those comments and you just like, you know, it hurts. You know what I'm saying? You're just like, man, you know, because you may be having a bad day. You may be already, you know, maybe feeling down on yourself. And then you read a comment and then you just like, you know, it just strikes you and you want to respond. But, you know, there is no winning in responding. It's only a win for them if you respond, you know. Mm-hmm. The only thing you can do is just kind of just, you know, just turn it off and just go and do something else to take your mind off it. But, you know, a piece of you never forgets. Whenever you're doing something, like whenever you're training or something like that, you remember what was said about you, and it kind of acts as fuel. So you can either take it as fuel or you can take it as something that destroys you. And, you know, you have to be very careful how you bring that into your reality.
Man, am I looking at baby seats behind you?
Yeah, man, I got the car seats. I'm in the car, man. It's summertime here at the Evans household, and I got the little ones running around, and they don't believe, you know, daddy should have his own personal time. So they're all over the place. And if I'm in a house, they're asking me to pick them up and all kinds of daddy stuff.
I noticed that, though, because that to me speaks to that whole person side of it again. Like, people know you as the fighter. But I read that you view yourself as a pacifist. You seem like a generally happy guy. Are we breaking down stereotypes of what it means to be an in quotes fighter?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, that once people really truly get to know fighters, and Ultimate Fighter did a really good job of that. But I feel like in general, a lot of fighters are a lot like me, where we're just, you know, we're very passive in life in general. But then we learn how to just kind of channel it and put it in the area where we can best use it, which is in a fight. And, you know, because I'm always used to fighting and training and things like that, my ability to take a lot of garbage, as we say, you know, it's really high, because I'm always using that negative energy and putting it into, you know, something positive. I'm transmuting that energy into positive energy. So it doesn't get a chance to stay with me. And because of such, I remain happy.
Well, so there's a transition. And we got a lot more things to talk about. But I was telling you before we got started that I tried out your new business. I don't even know if it's called new anymore, but the Umbo products.
Yes.
Mushroom-based products, legal mushroom-based products. I actually have the box of stuff right here because I tried them out. But that kind of speaks to you've gone through some things where you wanted to help fighters with their stress level, with their mental health level, with depression, with all those types of things. How'd you get into something like this, and why was this so important?
You know, when I was still fighting, I tried to fight in New York one time, and I was denied a license. And I was denied a license on the account of they found something on my MRI. On the frontal lobe, they said that I had some kind of brain injury, and they didn't know how long the injury was, so they didn't give me a license. So in order for me to get a chance to fight again, I had to get that off my record. So I had to do a series of tests, and lo and behold, through doing a series of tests and seeing a bunch of different doctors, I even went to go see the doctors from the movie Concussion in Pittsburgh. And you know, it was determined that it was an old injury, something that I had from before. But as I was on the heels of retiring, it got me thinking about what I'm going to do, because I never foresee that happening to me. You know, as a fighter, you never think that it's going to happen to you. You never think that you're going to have a brain injury. You never think that you're going to be in a position to be losing your cognitive function. And to me, that's the scariest thing in the world. So I was looking at ways in which I can heal my brain. And that's when I ran across functional mushrooms. And I started on a regimen with functional mushrooms. And I really noticed a difference. And it was something that wasn't, you know, something I didn't really expect, to be honest, because I didn't really have too much knowledge of what functional mushrooms can do for your body. But when I started taking the lion's mane and the cordyceps and the turkey tail, I started to feel a big difference. And, you know, I feel like it brought me back in a lot of different ways that a lot of supplements that I've tried have not.
So a lot of guys, I mean, fighters, people in holistic health in general are big on supplements. But this was kind of you figuring out things that worked for you. And then when you did say, all right, well, let's make this available for other people.
Yeah, you know, because one thing that I really, truly started to understand is that as a fighter, you know, there's so many neurological issues that we have just from being knocked out unconscious, you know, and being hit in the head repeatedly. But more importantly, over time, you know, you get to the point where you have these neurological issues, and that's what we call aging, you know. So there's, you know, a big, you know, there's a big gap between what we can do neurologically speaking, medically speaking, in order to treat some of these problems. And I feel as if like mushrooms can really help in that capacity, because when it comes to, you know, neurological health, I don't think there's anything that the doctor can prescribe you that's better than taking functional mushrooms. It's part of the food kingdom. And the thing about, you know, with mushrooms, that there's a bit of mycophobia. People are really afraid of mushrooms because, you know, there's not a lot known about them, you know, and the fact that some mushrooms can be dangerous to kind of put a negative connotation of what mushrooms can do. So in a lot of people's minds, they don't really see the benefit of taking these mushrooms. But, you know, when it comes to being able to just, you know, have an adaptogen that means that, you know, a mushroom that or a supplement that does something for your body, it may not do for other people's body, right? It gives each body something different, whatever they need. These adaptogens help out on such a huge level that, you know, it's something that people really need to have in a diet, because when you're looking at the mushroom kingdom, you're looking at truly a kingdom that has the ability to, you know, it's a networking king, you know, when it's in the nature and on the ground and stuff like that, is used to give nutrients and, you know, supplements pass back and forth between trees in the plant kingdom. So it's one of those things that once you take in your body, you start to feel the difference, and it gets better and better. And it kind of surprised you because of the fact that you didn't even know some of these issues were even wrong with you.
I tried it, and the Umbo, the protein bars, they taste good, man. So we'll see what happens as we continue to go forward. You know, it's transitioning from that, the ongoing discussion. I've read that you talked about, and even with the mushrooms, but in general, some of the mental health challenges that fighters are dealing with. That's something that is become an important topic for you. I guess you got to kind of channel the anger versus living your real life. Kind of walk us through some of those. I read something you said about John Jones and that kind of dark side that fighters have to deal with.
Yeah, like in order to do what we have to do, what we do, you know, there's a part of us that drew us to the fight. You know, there's a piece of us that has made us fighters in a sense. And, you know, it's sometimes it's trauma, you know, sometimes a lot of times it's trauma. For most of the fighters, it is trauma. And being able to find some way to deal with the trauma is, you know, fighting has helped tremendously with that. But at the same time, you know, you have the highest of the highs and you have the lowest of the lows. So then when you lose a fight, you know, those issues that you may have been pushing to the back or been able to use, you know, fighting to help, you know, alleviate those problems, now they get pushed to the forefront and now you have to deal with them, but then you can't, but then fighting is not, you know, there for you to use it because, you know, you're maybe hurt from a fight or just maybe on feeling sore about a fight. So you don't want to turn to fighting, and it's just a matter of, you know, how do you deal with these things, you know? And, you know, it's part of the nature of what it means to be a fighter in a sense. You know, you have, you know, some of that energy that can be very good and beneficial if it's channeled the right way, but at the same time, it can be harmful if it's channeled the wrong way. And we've seen that time and time again with some of the athletes get into trouble and can't seem to figure out and get out of their way with trouble because of the fact that they haven't had a chance, or not had a chance, they don't truly understand how to harness the dark side of that energy force, you know, that allows them to fight at the highest level. And, you know, what I had to learn to do in order to really get a hold of my transition from being a fighter was I had to do a lot of self-work. I had to, you know, sit down and had to really start asking myself these questions that I thought, you know, was my fuel for fighting, you know. But then once I started to really look and analyze at some of these issues that I was having in my life, and you know, it's an issue in your life because it's a reoccurring thing, you know. Yeah. No matter what, you always find yourself in kind of a similar situation, you know, and it's not always situation. Most time it's reoccurring. It's you. And being able to have, you know, the ability to sit down and ask yourself these questions is a tool that a lot of fighters or a lot of people don't have in general. So, you know, being able to sit and face yourself was one of the biggest challenges that I had to do once I made that transition from being a professional fighter.
As you've gotten older, and you still, it's always interesting talking to, in quote, retired athletes about getting old and they're like 40, you know, and you're not, that's hardly into the realm of old. But it seems like it's a different perspective. You've had feuds and what have you, but it doesn't seem like at this point in your life, you're holding on to that anger or those feuds. Like you guys, whoever, you don't still dislike each other. You've moved on. Not just John Jones, but people in general.
Yeah. I have moved on. I really have moved on. And I truly, I truly just so totally see everything differently now than I did when I was fighting and competing, and just, you know, some of the anger and some of the things that I had towards my opponents, you know, I just don't really even feel remotely the same anymore. Even with Rampage, one of my biggest heated rivals, him and I, we ended up doing a movie together, and, you know, through doing a movie together, you know, we ended up, you know, becoming really close friends and really starting to understand each other and seeing the similarities in each other that we had, and, you know, end up having the chance to share some of the stories that we went through when we fought each other. And it was just, you know, it was just like a full circle, and you truly got to see, you know, the beauty of the sport, you know, and that's one of the things that I can say is the beauty of the sport, is the fact that, you know, we fight each other, but when it comes to just having that brotherhood and camaraderie, I don't think there's another sport like fighting.
That seems like a message. I mean, I'm in Philly and we have a lot of violence issues right now. That seems like a message that you and other fighters could be sharing with young people regardless. Like, we were bitter rivals. We didn't like each other. But at the end of the day, everybody gets to walk away, you know, and grow up to have the chance to kind of get over it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a message I can be shared with so many people who just really don't really understand the fact that, you know, forgiveness is the key. And when you forgive, you're not really, you know, it's not about you saying, you know, absolving that person of everything they've done for you. It's just really just releasing that hold that they have over you. Because the truth of the matter is, whenever you in a position where you feel like you need to forgive somebody or somebody's done you wrong, you're holding that energy where they can just be living their life and they haven't thought too much about it, you know, but you're holding that energy. So when you forgive them, you're just letting that go. And once you're able to let that go, you're not held down by the things that really truly upset you in life. And then you can accept things into your life that make you feel good. So it makes the whole spirit freer once you learn to forgive like that.
I appreciate all your time. One or two, and I'm going to let you go. I know you got the kids in the house or in the car, but I do appreciate this. You're doing media stuff now as well.
Yes, sir.
And have been for a while. I don't know if you and DC are friends, Daniel Cormier, but I saw the other day he was doing interviews in the cage and somebody must have forgot and they were kind of challenging him in the cage, had a lot to say, and forgot that you're sitting there with the former heavyweight champion, a UFC veteran. You do media now. Is it ever difficult? Because now you have to talk about, you know, those guys, and you were on the other side of that before. Anybody ever like, really? You go talk about me like that?
All the time, and it's the most uncomfortable, weird situation, but you just got to handle it because, you know, you were on the other side, and you know how that feels, so you just got to just, you know, you got to keep it real, but you also have to keep it real with you know, your reporting and what you're doing, because your word is everything. And when you're not authentic with your word and you're just kind of saying something to get along, then people don't want to hear that. You know, you're not a source of credibility. They want to hear people who tell the hard truth. And even when fighters do get upset about it, you know, it's always they always do seem to come around eventually and be like, you know what, when you said this, it bothered me, but I can see where your point of view is. You know, some fighters just stay mad at you forever. And that situation that happened with DC and Phil Hawes, you know, it's a it's an unfortunate situation, but, you know, as somebody who's, you know, in DC's position, you have to just give your truth and you're going to get that. So it comes with the territory.
Just take it. Two more and I'll let you go. Advice for young people, for up and coming fighters, for people who have faced some of the challenges and successes that you've had. What's the advice you give to them?
Resilience is everything. And that resilience that you have to have is something that, you know, as an individual, you have to tap into and really challenge yourself to really find out what brings the best out in you. You know, find some way and write it down and write it down. Your why. Your why is the most important thing you can do in this world. Why you do anything is the fuel to even get out of bed. And once you understand your why, you know when or why you got off track when you are off track, and it becomes your black box just in case when things go, you know, to garbage, when things go downhill, you're going to be looking for that black box of what happened. You're going to be able to search for that if you go back to your notes and you look, you know, what the why you were doing anything. But I would say stay connected to your why, and that will help you with your resilience to get through anything.
And then finally, we end the Pulse with everybody with this concept of use your voice for good. I don't know if that's a charity that you work with, if that's just where your mindset is now, but how do you use your voice for good? What would you like people to do?
You know, right now I'm working on a project right now, and it's a project that I've started with an NFT. It's called Metatodes Gang, and it's it's about the Sonoran Desert Toad, which I have a tremendous amount of respect for. It's an entheogen, but it gave me a lot of perspective in life. But, you know, it also helped me a lot with mental health. And there's a huge mental health component that's involved with my NFT. And, you know, that's what I'm really doing right now, because I love to talk about where I was and to really, you know, unmask a lot of stereotypes that people have about fighters, but more importantly, you know, helping people to reach that part of themselves that is a little bit uncomfortable at times, you know? And, you know, that's where I try to, you know, do my good and try to, give people some tips on how they can help themselves. And through helping people, it helps me as well.
I appreciate your time. I really do. I thank you for all this. We were joking before you came on that I wonder when you got the nickname, because if your nickname's Sugar, you kind of have to be able to fight.
You have to be able to fight. Yeah. This nickname came from me by Mike Renars, my old MMA coach. And one day I was training, he's like, "Hey, Ev, you looking good. You looking sweet as sugar," you know, because we was a big boxing fan. So he started calling me Sugar Ray. So, that's where that name comes. But, yeah, a name like Sugar can definitely get you in a lot of trouble.
People are going to try you. And in that case, it gets them in a lot of trouble. Thank you, man. I appreciate your time. This has been fun. I'm going to let you know what happens, you know, with me continuing with my functional mushroom routine. I'll check back with you in a little bit. And congratulations on an amazing career and recent retirement.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Just one more thing. I wanted to say, if anybody's interested, check out getumble.com and sign up for our newsletter and just kind of see what we got going on with the whole Umbo thing, with what we have coming out. And also you can put in Brain20 and get 20% off of whatever you purchase and try our products.
Sounds good. I'm going to use my discount. Thank you very much. You have a good one.
All right, man. You too. Thank you. Take care.
Take care. Appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening to The Pulse with Bill Anderson. Today's guest, Sugar Rashad Evans, UFC legend, Hall of Famer now, and recently retired, as well as businessman. As I mentioned to him, one of the things I'm really enjoying about The Pulse is the opportunity to hear people's true stories, their humanity, their challenges, and not just in the often distributed short sound bites. We got to hear what he was really about and what it was like to win and lose fights, what it was like to have to deal with demons, and what it is currently like moving through a recent retirement. So I absolutely enjoyed it. Hope you did as well. I always want to remind you, if you're in the Philadelphia area and you would like to watch the show on TV, 6:30 p.m. on Mondays on Fox 29. Nationally, you can always watch 9 p.m. on Fox Soul. The shows are available for download there as well. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, Pulse with Bill Anderson, so you get updates every week when a new podcast comes out. And we'll be back to do it all again next week. If you would like to reach out to me, you can follow me on social media platforms at Bill A. Fox 29. I'm always eager to interact with you, hear your suggestions, your feedback, your critique, or just say hi. And we'll be back again to try it again next week. Until then, I always like to remind you, whenever you can, use your voice for good and have a good one.